It is a year since Jamie Chalker became the new NT Police Commissioner. He's been down in town for the last few days. And of course, we've been talking about a lot of issues around town and also a lot of issues around remote policing. Because I remember a few weeks ago, we spoke to Ken Wyatt about the future funding of police by the federal government, by the Commonwealth, after the agreement, I think, lapses in mid-2022. But we should say very good morning to Police Commissioner Jamie Chalker. Good morning.
Good morning, Brushy.
Is it a year?
A year yesterday.
Wow. You would have never expected to have had the year we've had, I'd imagine.
I'm not too sure many walking this earth could have predicted the year that we've had.
Yeah. Has that gotten in the way of any reform and any changes you want to brought in for the NT Police?
No, we've had a very strict compliance with where we've wanted to head. So I think early days when I first came down and spoke to you, I was talking about getting back to basics to set our future. Project 2030, we completed that around the 1st of July. So we stayed on task in respects of that. We've set up a relevant strategy platform. So in essence, what we're aiming to try and do is to make sure that our frontline is as bolstered and supported as it can be. I think you'll recall when I did start a year ago, there'd been no recruiting for nearly a year and there were 60 recruits going through training at that point in time. There was no recruiting active underway, so I turned that all around. We've subsequently, on top of the 60 that graduated, have graduated another 101, another 66 police officers from that, about 27 Aboriginal community police officers, about 20 to 30 auxiliaries, and 12 Aboriginal liaison officers. And I have another squad commencing later this month of 30, and there'll be another squad commencing early in 21 of 30. So we've turned that around.
Now, you've been downtown for the last few days. Have you come down driven by the appalling... Well, I know it was on social media, and I know you're not going to react to social media, but it was in part because of the events portrayed in social media of the appalling driving of those allegedly stolen cars by youths the other night?
Yeah, that behaviour was clearly concerning, and nobody's going to speak to diminish that. And I know everyone's focus was on that driving behaviour, but from a perspective that probably caused me a greater area of concern was when I looked across that footage and saw the crowds that were gathered on the street, I actually didn't see too much fear and apprehension. I saw something quite the contrary. It was almost as if every mobile phone that could possibly come out of the pockets came out, and there was a lot of yelling and cheering and some level of support. That's at the heart of what we're trying to do. If the community is starting to accept that in any form, or any parts of the community are accepting it, we've got to start turning that around, because I think there is a direct correlation to these young teenagers feeling somewhat buoyed by the fact that they're going to attract some notoriety, and that's something that's not helpful in the current situation.
Mm. I'll go back to the issue about community and what community can or can't do in this space, but I spoke to Craig later. I'm sure he's sick of coming in to speak to me or getting on the phone to speak to me, but he did tell us that Viper has, I think, produced 122 prosecution files in relation to this. Now, has Viper broken the back of this spate of offending?
We certainly know that they've made a significant interdiction. So certainly the offending rates of youth involved in the property offences for October compared to November have already jumped reduced quite markedly. So the further work that we've been doing, which is part of why I wanted to have a chat with you all today, is we've started to focus and break down exactly, now that we've had a month of Viper, who were these youth. So out of the 120 odd arrests, there was 75 that were attributable to youth. What we then broke that down to and identified is that 37 actual unique youth were involved in that. Now, from a whole of government perspective, I think 37 is an area that is a size that we can focus on to start looking at some genuine case management. The deeper we dive on it, because the questions I wanted to know is, where are they from? In essence, it's a balance. It's a third are Alice Springs community, a third are from Alice Springs town camps, and a third are from Bush, and even one from Darwin. We've got that information. We've got the details of those youth. We know that 19 have been successfully diverted at this point in time, but we also know that a number have been committed and are either still on remand or have been sentenced. So that breakdown is showing that we still are arresting quite a lot, that a number are being progressed through to the courts. We've arrested another two overnight, one for breach of bail and one for some outstanding warrants. So the Viper team were active again and grabbed them about 1:50 a.m. this morning. So the work is very, very active. We're aware that the Rock Bar was unlawfully entered this morning. Four offenders we know were in that place, and the team are actively on their trail as of this morning.
is town, and is it having progress because offenders are actually in remand, awaiting? I mean, how many actually currently still remain in remand of that group you talked about of 37?
I don't have the exact breakdown of how many are on remand, because I do know there was some further arrests in the last 48 hours. What I know is there's a touch over 30 youth who are currently incarcerated in the Northern Territory.
And you can't, I know you can't tell us where they are. You mentioned bail and breach of bail, and I don't expect you to answer this, but I'll make the point. People have this perception that bail is easy to get and that offending follows that. Do you, as police, or are you, as police commissioner, happy with bail as it is taken or as it relates to young people, to young offenders?
We're definitely reviewing all of that activity. You'd be critically aware of the changes to the youth legislation earlier in the year. What I will say, though, is it has not diminished our ability to arrest people for breach of bail, as was evidenced by the fact that we arrested one this morning. What was the change was it's then not a further offence. What we need to make sure that we're doing is having the conversations as to what is the legislation framework around property, because I think property is clearly the one that's causing a high level of apprehension at the moment. But I hasten to add, we're actually on an increased spike, and Alice Springs alone has had an increase of about 29% in assaults compared to the same year period of last year. My grave concern about that is the information does tell us that the higher victims in all of that are Aboriginal females, and when the matriarch of the family is being assaulted at those rates, which are unacceptable rates, is it any wonder that youth are not feeling safe in their home?
Yeah, and this all goes back to secondary supply of alcohol and the
like.
There was a question I had from a listener earlier this week. She said, she's like many people in this town, worry about crime. Now, in light of what's been happening, she says she limits where she goes. She limits the times of day where she goes out. But she also wonders, when police and politicians say we need the community to solve this, does that simply mean we lock ourselves away and try our best to avoid being victims of crime? Because what else can we do?
Well, I've used this analogy previously. Alice Springs markets on a Sunday are some of the most buoyant activities that can occur in this place. And what we know across the world is that when you have high numbers of people actively using public places, crime tends to be reduced, because people are the greatest crime prevention technique. They'll either pick up that some behaviour is starting to emerge and report it in advance of it becoming the acute outcome, or everybody's picked up by the atmosphere and the spirit of enjoying a good social outing. Problematically, and everyone has seen this, you do have times where there are those with an active intent to go and do things and cause apprehension in community. The broader,
do you think people should be scared or worried? What I'm saying is, do you think the perceptions, and the reality is we know there is high levels of offending, and the levels of offending in Alice Springs are high in comparison to many other centres. Do you think people's perceptions, and I don't want to underestimate people's perceptions, but people, you know, really do feel unsafe in their town?
Yeah. Look, the reality of it is, as it relates to direct victims of assault and the like, we know that the categorisation of people who suffer from that the most are Aboriginal females. That's a reality, and it's an abhorrent statistic. What we do know, though, is that general public users who go into the CBD, where their apprehension arises is by the bolshy sort of nature
harassment
that we start to see from the young people and all those who are intoxicated, but also the damage to their vehicles and the like. And that all of that causes angst and makes that fear of not wanting to go into that place. Craig Laidler, I can assure you, won't tire of coming to see you or speak to you, because he knows that's a very active part of what we need to do. But we need to make sure that the community does feel that their CBD is safe. That's the task that he and the whole team have got to do, but they can't do it by themselves. So I've been actively working with all of the CEOs of other agencies. I can advise you that Territory Families have been very proactive in this space. OpLuna, which I think you've received a brief on, I'm going to go and see them later this morning. But they're very, very keen for the work they're doing. They're increasing their activity from their youth approach. There's further conversations around what types of activities can we make sure that there's an availability of these youth if they're found in the street and no safe place to go. Where can we place them? Department of Education have been doing a great body of work with our people in our intelligence cell, looking through all of those kids that should be at schools remotely who are currently floating around in our major centres, which include Darwin, Catherine and Tennant Creek. So there's a whole raft of activity that's underway at the moment. Graham Smith reached out from Lhuillier to have a conversation with our Department of Chief Minister colleagues. So DCM, through their regional network, are also at the table. I've met with various Aboriginal entities yesterday. Everybody to an individual wants to be part of the solution, as does the Mayor and the Alice Springs Town Council.